Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Well, we're on Open House this Sunday night, this Easter Sunday night. It's a new brand being launched this Easter with, I think, a really good idea, and which very much taps into the interactive two-way conversation age in which we live. For millennia, the church has been telling the world about the Christian faith, but the church hasn't been known much for a two-way conversation. These days, it's just got to be different. Christian community has got to be there, connecting, engaging, speaking, and listening. So now we have the Ask Anything campaign, an initiative of the Crossway Church in Melbourne. It's simply saying to anyone who'll listen, people without faith, but also people with faith, ask anything about that faith and about the Bible. We're also keen to tap into our Easter Sunday audience and your questions to ask anything. We're open to all comers tonight. Going to see how good the man behind all this is. So give us a call, 1300 40 20 20. Is there a question you've always wondered about with the Christian faith or the Bible? Tonight is your night. Fire away, 1300 40 20 20. Dale Stevenson, the senior pastor of the Crossway Church in Melbourne, is your man. Dale, welcome back to Open House.
Yes, g'day Lee, how are you?
Fine, thanks, great to have you with us.
Hey, great to be
righto,
here.
First, this is the big test. First question from me, and I actually heard this in our church this morning. What are the women who discovered Jesus' empty tomb known as in today's contemporary church?
What are they known as?
Yes.
Well, Mary was, it says Mary and the other Mary.
Yeah, and there's a clue, it's what they were carrying.
This is not the sort of questions you're supposed to be asking, Lee.
All comers. The answer is the Spice Girls, and it brought the house down this morning.
We can only go up from there.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So listen, tell us about Ask Anything. It's very much, as I said, something that the Christian faith has to be up for, this two-way conversation.
Oh, absolutely. I actually think that there's an increased interest in Australia right now, possibly as a byproduct of some of the more militant and articulate atheism. So some of the sort of the Dawkins, the God delusion effect. And, you know, we see it, whether it's on shows like Q&A or lots of different shows, where there's just a stronger and more articulate voice against. And I think it's actually causing people to say, well, I'm not sure if I know that much about the Bible or Christianity or Jesus. And so, you know, I think it's kind of piqued people's interest. And so we have to be there for that. And so I just think there's an enormous and fantastic opportunity right now. And what I'm seeing is that there are a lot of people who are interested, and so we want to engage.
Yes. Was there one particular question or moment or person that got you thinking about this, Dale?
From my own background, I have an atheistic background myself, so, you know, some of that sort of questioning is deeply within me. But a number of years ago, I actually put a letter out to about 15 business guys that I knew who didn't have faith. And I said to them, look, I'm looking to gather some guys together to have God conversations. Don't know if you're interested. This is the sort of place we can ask. We'll throw it out there. Mm. And about 10 of them took me up on the offer and said yes. And we did the thing, you know, for 6 weeks. We had God conversations, just have a bit of food and drink and the like. And toward the end of that, some of the guys said, can we keep this going? You know, we're really enjoying it. And for six of those men, it actually ended up being quite pivotal as they ended up putting their faith in Jesus. And so I thought, look, I think there's a broader interest. Like, these are alpha males. Like, these guys, they're running their own businesses. They're doing really well in life. They're articulate, smart men. And they just needed to be engaged with. And so I think that's probably the embryo of the deal. So a few years ago at Crossway, we did a series we called Ask Anything. We cut some DVDs and encouraged people to get their friends together. So we actually had 33, what I'd describe as super groups planted, where some Christians just put the question out to their network, and their mates clustered who didn't necessarily have faith to ask anything. And from that kind of embryonic idea, we've now kind of test-driven that with about 3,000 people in Australia, and now we've got the website up, and we're inviting people, you know, come on, ask anything, let's engage.
Great stuff. So people get to vote on these questions as well, Dale?
Yeah, Yeah, that's right. So if they go to the website, you can post a question there, and then you can choose if you want your question to be voted on. And so what we're going to be doing is handling the most popular questions. So basically it's customer-driven, if I can use that type of language. So people who are inquiring themselves can say, I like that question. I want that question to be addressed.
Yes.
And then the questions that have the most support are the questions we'll be addressing.
Okay, we've got one question already for you, Dale, from Mark in Sydney. Mark, good evening.
Yeah. Hi, Lee. How are you?
What's your question for Dale?
I just wanted to know, when you die, do you go directly to judgment and then heaven and hell, or do you go to some sort of purgatory until Jesus returns? I'm a bit confused about that.
Okay. Mark, thanks very much for your question. Dale, did you get that one then?
No, when you changed over, my line dropped out, so I missed the entire question.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
When we die, do we go straight to hell or straight to heaven?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's a really forthright question. The Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. So there is some instantaneous event that takes place. The death is but a doorway. It's not the end. In the Bible, it says it's appointed unto humanity to die once, and then we give an account before God. The central message of Easter, and the gentleman who asked the question there, was saying, you know, is there a purgatory, hell, and all those sorts of things? And of course, there's other options like being at peace with God, and being with Him. The central message of Easter, and in fact, let me quote a little verse from the Bible, says, God would have it that none should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. You know, probably the best known verse in the Bible: for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God's taken an initiative. He's seen that we actually need saving. That's why Jesus is called the Savior. That we're giving it our best crack here on earth, but we're not right with God. And so God's taken an initiative in Jesus. The offer that comes to us at Easter time is to respond to what God has graciously done for us in Jesus.
Yep.
So the nature of the question is, like, is there something, is it instantaneous? So there is an instantaneous engagement with God. It says, right now we see through a mirror dimly, but then, that is when we die, we will see Him face to face.
Yes.
Now, if there is a time lapse, and because some people do kind of speculate on whether there's a time lapse and that there's some kind of future judgment day, if there is a time lapse, it's actually, I would say, it would be like when we sleep, and like a really good sleep, you can be out of it for hours and you have no sense that time is passing at all. But my best understanding from the Bible is when we exit time and space as we currently know it, as far as experientially, we're instantly in the presence of God.
Okay. It's a whole new world in that case.
Yep.
Faye has called in from South Australia. Hi, Faye. What's your question?
Yes, good evening to the both of you. A blessed Easter to the both of you.
Same to you, Faye.
Question, a well-known one, and I guess many people ask this, and that is, why do good people have to suffer things at the hands of those who do wrong, the bad people seem to get away with it, while the good seem to get it all sort of. So
it's a big question.
Yeah, that's
a big question. Thanks very much, Faye. Yes, Dale, what would you say to that?
Yeah, so that's a very real question.
Yeah.
We see that and we experience that all the time. One of the things that the Bible affirms is that humanity is made in the image of God, and we are therefore willful people. You know, we have the capacity to choose. And there are implications of our choices. And this actually all goes right back to this sense that God is love, and He made us in His image. If we're going to be free to love, we also have to be free to reject. Otherwise, it's not real love. Does that make sense? We're not pre-programmed robots.
Yeah.
And if we were just pre-programmed robots and we said, hey, God, we love you, and we always only do nice things, it wouldn't be real relationship. We wouldn't be volitional people, you know, people with choices. Now, the fact that we can make choices means we can also make bad choices. And some people can make, like, really bad choices. And unfortunately, it doesn't only affect them. It affects other people as well. That's in no small part why something like a judgment day is an important thing. I had someone remind me just recently that the whole idea, and going back to the very first gentleman's question, the whole idea of a judgment day is quite unappealing to the Western kind of affluent world's mindset, and we just think it's an awful idea. In a developing world where there's massive injustice, if we were growing up in the Congo or Somalia or, you know, in all sorts of other countries where there's just atrocities that are taking place all the time, the idea that one day there will be an accountability for people is an appealing concept.
Yes, yes.
And we actually need it. We need that justice will happen one day. So with regard to Faye's question, why bad things happen to good people, it's because we're operating in a world where people make all sorts of choices, and unfortunately we don't live like islands. So some people's choices affect others, and it can be that good people are affected by people's bad choices.
And if there was ever a weekend to demonstrate that God still works through terrible stuff, i.e. the death and crucifixion of his own son, it's Easter.
Absolutely.
Dale, I made the point that this is both for people who are spectators of Christian faith, but also for people who have that faith but still have sometimes big unresolved questions but are kind of too afraid to ask.
Yeah, certainly. A lot of people don't want to ask that question because you don't want to feel like you're a dummy. And so I think there are a lot of questions inside Christians that they're concerned to ask because they just don't want to look stupid, but they would really love to have the chance to ask them. The online forum, askanything.com.au, is kind of a safe forum because you can put your question out there and have it affirmed by others and then have it engaged with.
Yeah, sure. Let me run through just a couple of bullet point questions that you pose on the website, get a couple of quick kind of answers from you.
Sure.
Does God exist? Can you prove it?
Yeah, well, I do believe that God exists as an objective reality, not just as a subjective reality. So I don't think that humanity has made God, but rather vice versa. Obviously, it's impossible to prove that God exists, but equally it's impossible to prove that he does not exist. But if he does exist, I would anticipate that he left his fingerprints on things. So I look for some of those fingerprints that would point me towards God. And so with a bit of a science background myself, here's one example. There was a science journal cover put out more than a decade ago where they spoke about micromolecular machines, where they're now able to look inside cells. There's as many cells in our body as there are stars out there in the universe, which is just mind-blowing in its own right. Mm. And now we're able to look inside them. And you know what we're finding? We're finding, it's like machinery in there, highly coordinated moving parts. Even like bacteria that swim around our body, they've got a little tail called a flagella. That's a proton engine that drives it. Those little engines can rev as fast or faster than an F1 racing car. You can actually see universal joints, drive shafts, bushes. They can go in forward and reverse and the like. Now, for me, when I see something like that, if I were to look at Ayers Rock or the Roo, I would say there is the effect of just randomness and time and erosion. But when I look at the pyramids, I would not look at them and say, look what randomness and time and erosion has done, because I see intelligence behind them. Well, so now when we look inside cells and we see these micromolecular machines with drive shafts and bushes and universal joints and the like, I don't see random, I see intelligence. So for me, that's like fingerprints. Or the morality of humanity. So humanity universally cries out for justice. Doesn't matter whether we're tribal, in the back blocks of some developing world, or whether we're first world, highly educated and affluent people. People long for justice. Where does that come from?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So in me, it's because we're made in the image of a just God.
Yeah.
And the things that are right and true are important. And things like that, they're fingerprints.
Yeah. One question that's come through, someone who didn't want to go to air, but she's been with her partner for 8 years, not married.
Yep.
Are they living in sin?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Living in sin is a turn of phrase that's used in broader society. I think I'd like to reframe the question around what does it look like to live a life that honors God? And I think that's probably at the core of what's behind that question. Because people can either choose to live their own way, and so this is slightly broadening the question. So it's like, I will live my way, or I can say, I would choose to live God's way. Now, if a person is saying, what does it look like to live God's way when it comes to marriage and family and the like, there is something beautiful, sacrificial, in choosing to unite in marriage, actually committing to one another. For a couple who've been together for 8 years, they may even have children if they've been together for that period of time. I hope that they love one another. There's certainly some level of commitment that's taking place to one another. Now, if someone said to me, is this God's way, like, is this God's preference for a living relationship? No, God's preference is actually that people commit to one another, and marriage is that a commitment. So I wouldn't. I think that the sort of language of living in sin is loaded in all. So I'm more inclined to say, what do you like to honour God? And if these people are saying, we want to honour God, is this the right way to honour God?
Okay.
That's honouring to God.
Okay. Another question, somebody didn't want to go on air. Is God in control? Because it sure often doesn't seem like he is.
Yeah, that's a really big question, because people frequently think of God as the divine puppeteer. It's like he's pulling all of the strings, and if he is some kind of divine puppeteer, why does it look like such a disaster? Now, going back to that, we mentioned earlier about God making humanity willful. Now, that is, we have volition. We have a capacity to choose. And so when you've got, what are we these days? We're 7 billion people on planet Earth. Willful people making choices with all sorts of different value systems and making choices that affect one another. If people think that God is somehow sovereignly controlling them, removing their choice capacity, they've got a funny view of God. And so the Bible affirms that God gave us a choice capacity, and he doesn't remove that from us. He does seek to influence the choices that we make. He does empower us and guide us. He instructs us about the things that are most important, but he does not remove our choice capacity. And then as much as we can still make choices, then we can still make bad decisions, and hence we see what we see so frequently.
Okay. You've done well. I must pass on and give a shout-out to Mary, who's rung while we've been talking, Dale. She turns 92 in June.
Wow.
She's been listening for the first time to Open House tonight because her TV broke, and she says she loves the show. So we've both done well. We've both kicked a goal. Dale Stevenson, thank you so much indeed for joining us, and we'll post the details up of the Ask Anything website up on our Open House community Facebook page. Dale, thanks so much.
Good on you, Lee. A pleasure, and happy Easter to everyone who's listening.
Same to you, mate.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.